You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was growing up in my Southern Baptist church, not too far from here, it was very clear to me on how someone becomes a Christian. You would walk the aisle during the invitation at the end of the service, and there in the altar, you would pray with the pastor, and you would commit your life to Jesus. You would stand there in front of the congregation, publicly declaring your faith that Jesus is now the Lord of your life. He's now your Savior. And I did that on a Thursday evening in April of 1972. I was 13 years old and I was in the eighth grade. And let me say to you, my life was changed forever that night. Almost 2 months later, I got baptized in the same sanctuary. Now, at the time, I got to tell you, I didn't know a lot of the theology of the book of Romans. I didn't know a lot about the promises of the book of Ephesians. And I certainly didn't know anything about the prophecies of the book of Revelation. No, that day, all I knew was I was a messed up kid who needed a Savior. And in walking the aisle that night, I was doing two things. First, I was agreeing with God that I was in trouble. I was quite aware of the sin of my life, and I knew I needed a Savior. And second, I was agreeing with God that my life needed to change. I needed to repent. Things needed to go different in my life. Though I didn't understand everything about salvation, I knew those two things, and that night I did both. Several weeks later, I was reading in Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, and there we read, "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Believe in the good news. Repent and believe. That was the simple message of Jesus as he went around preaching. And that, I realized, was exactly what I had done that night. I hadn't followed a formula, really. Though we try sometimes to reduce salvation to a formula. No, that night, something changed in my heart. Something deep down inside my life changed. That was about 53 years ago, and I can say that Jesus is still my Savior, and He's still working to change things in my life today. In some ways, I think today, we do the church a little bit of a disservice in that we sometimes try to reduce salvation, this salvation experience, down to a formula. Now, I know why we do it, because we try to find a simple way to help people come into a relationship with Jesus. But in other ways, we might be a little bit wrong in doing that, because coming to Jesus is more than praying a prayer. It's more than raising my hand or walking an aisle. See, guys, salvation is about a change of heart. It's making a decision to change the direction of my life. It's making a decisive turn away from my sin and towards God. See, when the Bible speaks of believing in Jesus, it never speaks just in terms of mental agreement that Jesus is who he is. You know, sometimes I think I believe Jesus was a real person. Yeah, I believe he was the Son of God. You know, the New Testament teaches us that the demons believe that, and they tremble over that thought. When Jesus spoke of believing in him, he was speaking of making a decision to follow him, to surrender your will to his will. In his own words, Jesus said, "Following me meant denying yourself, taking up your cross and following him." Following Jesus is a life-changing decision. And here's the important question to start with this morning. Was becoming a Christian a life-changing decision for you. You know, it may be that you came to Christ when you were a very young person. You know, when you're 7 years old, there's not a whole lot of things to change in your life, hopefully. But I would be willing to bet, and some of you came to the Lord early in life, but I would be willing to bet at some point in your life, maybe in your teenage years, maybe as a young adult, maybe even later, you had to make a decision to continue following the Lord in a serious way. Maybe you were faced with a strong temptation that you had not faced before. Maybe you were faced with some peer pressure. You were put in a situation and you were challenged. And you had to decide in that moment, am I going to continue in my obedience to the Lord? And in that moment, it became a life-changing decision for you. In that moment, you had to decide whose team you were on. See, choosing to follow Christ means saying no to me. And it means saying yes to God. It means saying no to unrighteousness and yes to righteousness. This is the very definition of salvation. It is surrendering my life to Christ. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, Paul makes an incredibly bold statement. Let's read it together. He says, do you not know that unrighteousness will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, what? Will inherit the kingdom of God. See, apparently there were some in the church at Corinth who were thinking, you know what? It doesn't matter how I live my life. As long as I claim Jesus as my Savior, then I'm saved, I'm safe, I'm going to heaven. And Paul's answer to them was simply, you're deceiving yourself. See, they had forgotten the one necessary requirement for Jesus to be your Savior. The first step, it's repentance. I have to turn away from the sinful lifestyle choices that I've been making. Jesus won't be the Savior of an unrepentant person because repentance is always the first step in the direction of Christ. See, I can't walk in two directions at the same time. We're either walking towards sin and away from God, or we're walking away from sin and towards Him. We can't have it both ways. It's impossible. For Jesus to be our Savior, we have to turn away from a lifestyle of sin and disobedience. We can't go in two directions at the same time. But apparently, there were some people in the church at Corinth who missed the step. They were claiming to follow Jesus, but they had never taken even the smallest step away from their sin. Paul says to these people emphatically, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. They're lying to themselves. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, John says the same thing when he writes these words. He who says, I know him, Jesus, and does not keep his commandments is what? A liar, and the truth is not in him. John's saying exactly the same thing that Paul's trying to communicate. You can't be following Jesus and at the same time walking away from him, living in sin. You can't do it. Look at this list of sins that Paul describes over in 1 Corinthians. It's an ugly list. Fornicators, any form of sexual activity before marriage. Idolaters, worshiping and wanting something more than you want God. Adulterers, any sexual activity with someone other than the one you're married to. Homosexuals. This was the Greek word that was used for young male prostitutes. In those days, these were generally young teenage boys who would give themselves over to homosexual men. Sodomites. This was the more typical word for homosexual behavior. Thieves. Those who take what's not theirs. Covetous. Those who want what's not theirs. Drunkards. Those who live under the influence of alcohol or any number of other substances, and we have a bunch of them in this country. Revilers, those who treat others in an abusive and an angry manner.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor James Chapman. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor James' teaching ministry by visiting calvarycsm.org.